Okay, this hour on Coast to Coast AM, we're going to take your phone calls with Stephen Quayle. Jay Widener joins us next hour with his incredible story of how men and women can live until they're 400 years old. We'll be back in a moment with Steve and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Steve, what do you tell your friends and family when they come up to you and say, hey, you know, I heard you on Coast to Coast. Really, you really believe all that stuff? What do you tell them?
Well, I say I've got 10 books that I wrote about it before it happened. So I said, look at the date. And I said, and plus you can go on Coast to Coast's website and go check my appearances and see when I said what would happen and then see what's happening. I get a lot of flack. You know that, George. And the thing that's interesting to me is that a lot of the people who should be listening to me, it's no different for me than a lot of people in my family. Just they said, well, we've heard it all. I said, yeah, you've heard it 10 years in advance, but now you're living it all. How do you think that makes you feel? So I hope I'm answering your question. There are people that come up and say thank you. There are people that will drive night and day to come and buy me lunch, seriously, from the West Coast or East Coast. And yet, you know, I guess that a lot of people just think that because they live in Montana, they're safe from all this stuff, and it couldn't be more to the contrary. Montana, by the way, Montana, I always get this statement. I'd like to answer it. Don't you live on the precipice of the super volcano? The point is that Yellowstone Park has 40-some thousand vents. And for the record, when the BBC a number of years ago, before the Banda Aceh quake, wanted to come and interview me, I turned it down. I said, if I were you guys, I'd get down immediately down to Indonesia. I said, something big is going to go on down there. And this was 2 weeks before we had the event. And later I heard back from them. They said, well, it did happen, but people don't care about what happens. They care about what's going to happen. I said, well, tell that to all the people that lost their lives. So basically, sometimes, George, even news services, and I'm no fan of the BBC, but the point is that they have a predetermined bias that blinds them to the obvious. And in that case, they missed, I think, the biggest story of that year, and probably when it came to tsunamis, the biggest story of a tsunami in the last 100 years.
Well, I think so, too. Let's go to the phones. Lori is in Sudbury, Ontario, in Canada. First-time caller. Hi, Lori. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Oh, God bless you, Steve, George. It's really, really nice to be on here. Steve, my question to you is, we live in Canada here. We've been warning people now since 1989 of these coming days, and we know exactly how you feel about getting mocked and laughed by the family. You know, went out and been preparing for about the last 5 or 6 years, dry goods and stuff like that, and the family's just laughing at us, like, you know, like we're Chicken Little or something over here in Henny Pennies. And anyways, my husband is a truck driver. He knows very well, 24 hours, that's the transport business in the food industry. I'm wanting to ask you, what do you see for Canada? Like, we know what's going on at the States. My grandfather warned me way back in the day about, his words to me was, beware the yellows, like the last thing that was going to happen with Canada again in the Western world, that the Chinese people were going to invade. What I'm wanting to know is, do you think it's going to befall Canada like the same time as the United States? Because the people in Canada really think, like, that we're invincible. They, especially Christians. That's the very scary part about it, is the Christians that are not paying attention to the warning. They say they know their Bible, they know the Word of God, they're listening to the Spirit of God. Well, how come only some of us are hearing this, Steve? How come? And they're walking around zombified to what is going on. And the pastor are not speaking of the end times in the churches in this area. So do you have a word for Canada? Can you give some
encouragement? Well, sure. Let me share this. Every single vision I know, and what I know behind the scenes from people who are in the military, the invasion of the United States comes not only by the Pacific Ocean and by the East Coast, but it comes right down through Canada. There are supposedly deals that, and obviously Western Canada has a lot of Chinese presence. The Chinese can buy a lot of your oil sands and different companies, but China is there for a reason, and Canada becomes the forward staging ground for the invasion of the United States on the northern border. And I think that the Canadian Christians, they're no different down here, by the way, Christians in general, they want to believe that somehow everything's going to work out. Yet in the States, most of the people that take that position do absolutely nothing to, warn, help, or prepare. And I think that's the tragedy. So the Canadian Christians who think somehow they're going to escape this, I mean, they're going to be swallowed up in the whole mechanism that is designed to destroy the North American continent.
Okay, thanks, Lori, for that. Next up, let's go to John in Seattle, Washington. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering, bear with me because I'm kind of nervous, my first time being on the radio, but here in Seattle, back in May, they brought in the sea-based X-band radar, and they claim that they're just, you know, making some repairs on that, and that was about back in May. And then I live on the east side of Seattle, and yeah, we do have military bases down south, but I've seen two different instances where getting off of work at about 7 o'clock p.m., there was about an 8-mile convoy, and it had soldiers all over them, and they had like oversized load. Everything looked legit. You know, it's not anything that I wouldn't have seen, you know, down by the military bases. But then just a couple weeks ago, this was about 11:30 at night, I seen another convoy, but none of these were marked. No symbols, no anything. All I can really see were these antennas bouncing. But I was just wondering if you guys have any comment, or maybe that's something like on the low that's happening up here.
Well, Steve, remember when we were on the air some time ago and we did an extra hour of the program, something was going on with the movement of trucks and things like that. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
What do you think's going on up there in John's neck of the woods?
Well, I think the thing that people have got to recognize, and I would encourage everyone to go on YouTube and look up Henry Gruver's vision of an invasion of the United States. And George, you should do that too. Gruver spelled G-R-U-V-E-R. And he was in Wales at Carnarvon Castle when he was taken up above the heavens and saw the invasion coming on the West Coast and East Coast. And this was before cell phone towers were all over the country. And it's a remarkable, remarkable vision. It's one of those ones that, in my opinion, ranks right up there with the real stuff, even like George Washington's vision. But what everyone's seeing is basically the placement of military minimaterials throughout the country in anticipation of the total lockdown, the financial collapse of the United States. Now, I want to share this with everyone. What most people don't understand is that under George Bush's presidency, the Chinese own a lot of commercial paper, and the Bush administration allowed them to bring in a given amount of their, if you will, military/police. And if the truth were be known, I mean, China is America's largest creditor. I mean, we owe them close to, you know, a couple trillion dollars. So secret deals have been given, and they literally own a lot of the United States. So it's going to be interesting if they go to the United Nations Security Council once there's an economic collapse and basically say, we want to exert our commercial guaranteed by the UN rights to collect our property. So what's happening with all the military is they're being placed all over the country. I just talked to someone who basically overheard, he was privy to a conversation of a waitress who overheard at the Holloman Air Force Base area in New Mexico, a couple Germans talking. Now, this is a different story. There's a lot of these stories out there, but the man was in my home telling me that one of the waitresses came up and told him that she overheard two Germans at their Air Force Base, everything is in German, talking about how they're going to be divvied up, NATO is going to be divvied up, different parts of this country. And again, to the lady in Canada, I can only share this, that obviously there's so much that's known that all these troop movements are indicative of preparing and pre-positioning their troops to basically secure areas and large cities first, but it'll be all over the country. What's going to interrupt that plan, though, and for those in this world of defense intelligence and everybody else who listens to this show, the bottom line is you're going to not have the opportunity to put that into full motion, because you're going to sustain. This is not a threat. They're going to sustain a first strike, and it appears appears is going to be an EMP strike, an electromagnetic pulse strike, and that will take out C3, command, control, and communication. And it's going to, I can tell you this, George, within the last 48 hours from three different individuals, unknown to each other, and from people who are really in the fields they claim to be, they're all saying the same thing, that it's between 9/11 and 11/11. They won't give a date. They don't know the date, but the event determines the time. We all want to say, okay, on the 15th of September, this is going to happen. No, it's a time period. So it's there's a lot of stuff going on. And by the way, Russia launched a missile, one of their older missiles with a newer warhead design. And last night or the night before, we went to full-scale alert. Most people would never know that because, again, it was assumed that that might have been a cover firing for a real launch on us. So, you know, in the world of nuclear weapons, nuclear war, and war planning, this type of stuff happens all the time, but it's getting more tenuous. It's getting more perilous. And it's really sad when you've got admirals in the Navy who never got it for 5 years. Now, and I know you were a former Navy guy. The point is that now they're saying, oh, no, we've got a problem with China. Why wouldn't they listen to all of us guys on talk radio when we're telling them they're going to have a problem with China?
Do you think the talk, too, about abandoning the International Space Station in November is a prelude to something that could happen? And they don't want, you know, to have Americans and Russians together?
I think that they know what's coming in, okay. I think the abandonment of the International Space Station, from what I can tell, is absolutely based on what we're going to encounter. And again, this will sound crazy. Doctor, you've had him on. Doctor, is it Basiago?
Andrew Basiago.
Basiago. You know, if people had any idea the sophistication we have in outer space and that the amount of stuff being shot down. By the way, when you see yellow and orange flaming things going down on YouTube and splitting up in the air, that is not an asteroid. That is a spaceship of someone's. I can't say it's alien. I don't know if it's one of ours. But the point is that there's a full-scale battle in outer space going on. Even some of the people have picked up the SOHO. That's the Solar Observatory, you know, the telescope that's pointed at the sun all the time. Basically, with vehicles, space vehicles, shooting laser beams at things. And it's even there in the for people to see. And they say, oh, it's just an asteroid or a comet. No, it's not. It originates at one point, ends at another, and doesn't continue on. So I think that with all of the YouTube videos and all the different people that are seeing things getting shot down, the color is the key. When you see a different color, the different colors, and especially if you're seeing like the bright orange and bright yellow versus the standard fireball colors, you know that something is falling out. It's kind of like literally in Bozeman, Montana. We talked about this, George, a number of years ago. Someone saw something get shot down and ended up crashing in New Mexico. It was obviously high in the atmosphere, but the person said it was so big that it was dripping molten lava. Well, molten lava would be a good way for the reactor source to melt down. I actually had a guy who used to design out of this world, and literally out of this world, out of the solar system capable spacecraft, tell me that's a reactor core melting down, what you saw, Steve. So the point is that there's so much going on, and it's kind of hard. Like the guy said, Steve, how can I worry about aliens when I can't pay my mortgage? And I said, I understand. So I know that that sometimes you try and set the greatest or warn of the greatest, most pressing, immediate need. And I think that's for people to get prepared and to get prepared for an EMP attack, because the electromagnetic pulse is going to take down the Internet. It is going to take down communications. And then we're going to be in a real world of hurt. George, I am an information. I live on the computer, and it's my calling to warn people, and obviously all the research and stuff I do. But, you know, if you've ever had the power go out for 12, 14 hours, or like your internet site be taken down as from an order from upon high, which happened to my internet site a couple weeks ago, the point is you realize how truly vulnerable we are, and there comes a point where everyone, I think C. Crane used to be one of your sponsors, maybe still is.
Oh, they still are.
Shortwave radio, everyone.
Yep. Still are. Okay, let's go to Lake Elsinore in California. Hey, Sandra, thanks for holding.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. I just want to thank you both and all of your guests that you have on the show, George Norrie. I've been a listener for the last 7 years. prior. I've been raised on Christianity, and I called tonight. I tuned in late because I overheard Steve talking about China, and click, as such and such should have it, I am now once again on your show for the third time, and I got to tell you, months ago, when this questionable what is up in the air off the coast of Southern California came up, it was up there twice, 2 days. The first time it was not recorded. The next time this missile was up in the air, it was then shouted out. And it was hardly shouted out. But on your show, George, military people talked of it. Someone in the area, military people were calling, denying it was a missile. And a gentleman did call and also admitted that he saw it days before. So I couldn't get on the air or didn't get through that night to confirm, yes, indeed. It was twice. It was only reported once. So later it comes out it's a Chinese sub. Let me tell you, people, there's a reason why I got through tonight. Christians, wake up. Quit going and working so hard with your paychecks. Open up the books and read the scripture. Because, George, most everything you talk about on your show is still in the book. It's in the big book. People, wake up. It's coming down, and it's all laid out for you. George, my nerves are shaking. I had to shut off TV months ago because I can't take it anymore. So I'm a hairstylist. I try to share what I can. And even my best of Christian friends, their heads are in the sand. I don't know. I don't care.
Well, let me tell you this, and Steve, what she's doing is echoing, I think, how so many Americans feel these days. Do you feel that too?
Oh, absolutely, and I would just encourage you not to get frustrated. I mean, now I can tell you this, that's coming from someone who has been frustrated, but anymore, I just thank God for the people that listen and act, and the ones that don't, I really, my heart breaks for them, and I think that that's what we're trying to do, and that's what you've done, George. You've opened so many eyes and provided a platform for people to absolutely hear what I consider real news, and thank God for talk radio, because if it weren't for talk radio, there'd be nothing, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound crude, but mainstream press and everything that people watch on the mainstream news is nothing but massaged, and it's absolutely regurgitation. It's nothing but hot vomit.
All right, let's take, we're going to run out of time, Steve, so let's just chat for a bit. Then we'll take more calls when we come back after the break. Any traveling for you? What are you up to these days?
Well, again, what I'm doing right now is I want to some of the most amazing places in the country. I'm doing for the people who don't get a chance. A lot of the people that listen to me are shut-ins. I have quadriplegics that are amazing people, and I'm going to do a video of some of the great roads in Montana, like the Beartooth Highway, and also the Going to the Sun Highway in Glacier Park, and. George, these are some of the most amazing drives in the world. I mean, they start and then they go up to the 9,000-10,000 foot level, but just through some of the most scenic majesty, I believe, in the country. I've traveled in Europe. I've traveled pretty much all around, and I think the thing that I want to do for people is let people by in essence see the world through my eyes. I've been a photographer for a lot of years, but now I've gotten a lot of feedback, quite candidly. I'm posting one of my photos every day, and that's why I went to Hawaii, because the Nepali coast has always fascinated me.
Oh, it's a gorgeous area. Steve, hold on. We're going to come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Jay Widener joins us as we talk about some of his latest work, including research that mankind could live to 400 years, maybe more. When we come back in just a moment, we'll take final phone calls with Stephen Quayle right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Stephen Quayle. We'll take your final phone calls as well. Stephen, let's take some calls. You ready for some more?
Sure.
Shaggy in Baytown, Texas, you're up with us. Hey, Shaggy, go ahead.
Hey, really awesome show, guys. Hey, the question I have for both of y'all has to do with the moon. Now, I just got Lynn Marzulli's documentaries, Watchers 1 and 2, and in the second part, he shows good evidence that apparently the moon has shifted. Now, I've been taking pictures of the moon for years, and I went and got some pictures I took last year about this time and compared them. And sure enough, you want to talk about signs in the heavens. The moon has apparently shifted position. And I wanted to know if y'all had looked into this and what in the world's going on.
Well, we will check into that. Steve, how about you? Do you know anything about this?
People reporting, and I think that with the anomalies that are going on, especially the pole shift that's in place, we are shifting. So I know that Stan Deo did a check on that And I think Stan is still working on it. And I think I talked to him about 2 weeks ago. But I'm not watching that right now, but I am watching the double sun thing, because the double sun thing, and I'm not saying that the moon isn't important. I just have been so focused on the sun that I guess I should pay more attention to the moon.
Well, maybe so. Let's go to Cheryl in Phoenix, Arizona. Cheryl, you're up with Stephen Quayle. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My call has to do with the moon kind of, too, but I wanted to tell you guys about something I saw in 2005 that connects to it. I had been waiting for a bus with a friend on Jefferson Avenue in Virginia, and it was a kind of cloudy day. You know, it had been raining, but what we saw was on the clouds, all of a sudden, was this pyramid. I mean, it was three-dimensional and everything, and it just came from out of the clouds. And I thought I was nuts, okay? And I asked my friend, I said, what do you see? And he said, it's a freaking pyramid, you know, so he saw it too. Well, ever since 2005, I've been really bothered by that. I was like, what could cause that? What could cause that? It didn't look like it was an actual craft or anything, but I saw the pyramid and so did my friend. Well, recently I was doing searches on Google and YouTube, and they showed a city that in Japan, I think it was Japan, in Japan they projected a city on the river in China. That's where it was. And so they have the technology. But then I did more of a search on YouTube, and they were talking about how the moon had changed position as well, and that they were projecting holograms on the moon, so of the moon, so that you couldn't actually see. And I started thinking about all the chemtrails, all the spraying and, you know, making of clouds, and how they said that the sky is now an actual projector screen, and they can put these holograms or whatever they want. And I started thinking about the Bible in, Revelation 8 and 10, where it says wormwood is coming, and we're having all these natural disasters. I want to know, do they actually have the technology? Because I've seen the craziest thing, and that was what they showed on YouTube also. The moon does not go in front of clouds. And that's what I saw, too. I kept trying to tell my friends, something's weird. Something's weird with the moon. But I couldn't figure it out until I saw the video. They actually have video where the clouds are not in front of the moon, but the moon is in front of the clouds, and that's not normal. So what do you think about that?
I think that's Photoshop, Steve.
Well, I think that, there are Photoshop things out there, but I think that the big issue is a holographic capability that they have. That the pyramid, I think, is whenever you see that, just like the Norway spirals, there's a quantum kind of interchange literally between a hologram and that what would be called its quantum equivalent, kind of like a parallel universe thing. So what I'm saying is the military is experimenting, and they've got that right down to a science. You may have also seen a triangular, what's called a TR-3B or a TR-4B. Those are triangular-shaped aircraft, and from certain attitudes, meaning the way you look at them, they look like a pyramid. And they usually they'll use cloud masking, and all of a sudden they'll kick into their hyperdrive, and they'll turn into an orb. They literally kind of mask with an orb, and they're gone. They're instantly gone. So my guess is, I can't explain the moon. The Photoshop thing is, a lot likely. That's the problem, George. There are a lot of people out there that are really skilled. Now, when I have Photoshop questions, I send them to Stan, and he's like a computer genius guy, so I can let him usually tell me. But the point is that the holographic projection is going to be used. As a matter of fact, the militaries around the world can project an entire infantry and battalion strength, armament, and everything else onto the field, and you think they're really there when they're not. So the holographic capability, projected holography, has taken on such an amazing a role of realism that now it's a standard. I mean, we don't see it that often, but in the military, they use it quite frequently.
Well, then one of the problems with these hucksters who post these things on YouTube and other places, Steve, is they really cut into real good research and people who are trying to do an honest work, honest job, and get to the bottom of some of these mysteries. Instead, they taint it.
Absolutely. And can I tell you who they are? under the new military cyber command, they have 1,000 guys who have 10 separate identities. So that's 10,000 individuals whose job literally is to denigrate, basically undermine, attack the messengers, go on message boards, and everything else. So they have that ability, and then anything that's really out there that is really, let's say, pertinent or too close, then they'll float it as, you know, literally, pun intended, a balloon or something. So they have full-time cleaners, George, and they have full-time painters. A painter is somebody who literally covers up like the NASA photographs, whose only job and commission in the military is to basically cover up all evidence. I was told point blank that every time I go on your show, this was by a lieutenant colonel in NORTHCOM, that they will do everything they can to undermine and discredit when I hit on their hot topics. Their hot topics, by the way, are Stargates, advanced weaponry, and giants.
Next up, we go to Johnny in Omaha, Nebraska. Take it away, Johnny.
Oh, George, how are you?
Okay, we're doing okay. Thank you. Hope, glad you had a good weekend, I trust.
Oh, yeah. It's always an honor to talk to you, and it's especially an honor to talk to Steve Quayle tonight.
Here he is.
And hello, Steve.
Hello. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to call and ask you if you were aware of the Keystone Pipeline going through through the Ogallala Aquifer in Nebraska, and it stretches from Nebraska down into Texas. They're running it from Trans-Canada pipeline. They're running it from Canada down through to Texas, and they're going to go ahead and process it down there. And what I don't understand is, have you heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and you know, they can say all they want about it, but they will not, they won't break down and say it's not, and it's not out of the realm of happening, but they practically say that it just won't happen, that they'll get a leak, and then you just got to point to the last, you know, Yellowstone, the oil spill they had there a few months ago, and there was another leak somewhere else on a river.
Right. Well, that was the Yellowstone River, not Yellowstone Park. Okay, that was down by Billings, Montana, and the thing is that here's my concern with the Ogallala Aquifer, and this is what everyone should be concerned about. When the New Madrid ruptures, the Ogallala is one of the it is the single largest aquifer in the United States for fresh water. And, George, years and years ago, when I first went on talk radio, I said the greatest migration in history in this country is going to be when the great quakes come and people are forced to literally move to parts of the country that still have water. And so, you know, pipelines all over the country, we're having pipelines breaking due to seismic shifts. We're having plumes of good night gases being emitted from some of the supposedly extinct volcanoes and geyser vents in Northern California, and then that's all hush-hushed and poo-pooed. We have people smelling sulfur different parts of the country, their well levels changing. All that is indicative of ground movement. And again, I'm going to go on record. The greatest migration in the history of the United States will take place after the great quakes when, you know, I believe you're going to see the United States split up into three geographic land masses separated what once was the Mississippi. You're going to see it just like the map, the U.S. Navy map, and the pipelines will kind of be a secondary point because you're going to see just so much rupturing of so many things, and the infrastructure is going to be toast. So, you know, the pipelines that are leaking, I think a lot of them are seismically, they're caused by seismic movement.
Well, you know, and part of the problem, Steve, they constructed all these things years ago, and you know what? They never thought about the dangers of earthquakes. They really didn't.
No, they didn't. And George, the bottom line is, I want to share with your listeners one of the most tragic things I think we're all watching in slow motion heartbreak. Let's call it slow motion heartbreak, is the fact that I received a call from a gentleman who is a scientist and was in a think tank meeting in Washington last week, and he said that the truth is, and this has been on different postings on the internet, but it's true. I know this man, okay? He happens to be one of my clients, and I know who he is and stuff is all have, who he works for. And the thing that's interesting, he said they're already talking in his meetings about evacuating 31 million people from Tokyo due to the radiation levels, which are 20,000 times higher than the highest recorded or highest stated recorded leaking that's been out there. In other words, the stories of how many rens or rentigens, rems, or centigrades, it's 20,000 times higher than that. And he said the Navy, even at 600 miles off the coast, had to scrub down their ships because they were getting lethal doses of radiation.
And, so, you know, we'll never be able to pinpoint it here. People may be contaminated, Stephen, and they may die, but we'll never know that it was directly related to that, will we?
Well, I'll tell you what. We can trace certain things, though, especially cesium-137, strontium-90, some of the isotopes, okay? When you get what's called isotope pooling, and let's say that just, let's say, literally a fallout area of the country, you're going to see obvious, you're going to see a lot of birth defects showing up. You're going to see it. It's like the U.S. government when they did open air testing in Nevada. I mean, so many people in America who are, you know, our age, George, have thyroid issues, not that you do or I do, but there are a lot of people that do, and a lot of the cancer was attributed to that, because the biggest thing I think was the biggest con job in the history of modern science is how, with all of the nuclear medicine and all that's known about atomic energy and everything, how they can downplay the lethal doses of radiation that were given to people. And I got to tell you, outside of a miracle, there are a lot of people that are going to be suffering in this country. And I do recommend this. If people are in an area that is subject to a lot of jet stream activity, and I'm serious, get a radiation meter, because those were even impossible to get when Fukushima went up. I think they've opened up a little bit. But I think people should start to actually take an active role in the metering of the air, and seriously, because it can and it will have deleterious effects. Radiation is cumulative, and some of these people were getting, you know, 14 rads an hour, and by the end of a 10-hour shift, they've got pretty close to a 50% lethal dose. Lethal dose is 250 rems. And so what's happening is that people are losing their ability to critically think, and the only way I know to critically think is turn off the bloody, and I mean B-L-O-O-D-Y television, and start to get to the thinking process again. And again, I think we're living in the most biblically and accurately prophetic time period in history. And I can tell you this, the thing to watch, the single event I'm watching more than anything, is what happens concerning Gaza and what concerning the partitioning of Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, people can argue with it. They can claim they don't like it. By the way, Zechariah 14 says that there will be nuclear weapons used in this war over there, because their eyes will melt in their sockets and their tongues will, you know, basically melt away in their mouth. That's the Steven Spielberg image that he used in that Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right. And I'm not so sure it'll be the first time. I think it's happened long time ago, Steve.
You and I talked about the ancient nuclear wars that took place, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita talk about all the Indian Vedic texts and some of the areas that are desert and vitrified, meaning that it's turned to glass. And we're talking about an ancient, and by the way, my book, Alien Wars, Angel Wars, people should understand that's only available. They can get it online. They go on my website, stevequayle.com, and click on the books, and it'll take them to the order. But people have got to understand that this lays it out, George. I've laid it all out. In other words, if I could take 40 years of my life, compress it into 444 pages, 815 footnotes, and I think it's really easy, judging from the response I've got, which has been fantastic. People say, now it puts it all together. And if I've done that, then I think I've done something that is going to benefit everyone, because we're coming into the maximum age of deception, the maximum age of seduction, and you're not going to be able to believe what you see with your eyes, especially when everyone is working overtime to make lying signs and images appear in the heavens.
Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Janine, take it away.
Oh, please hear me out. I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I've been trying to get on the show for months. This is the best night I've ever hit it right. I have a couple questions and a couple comments, and then I'll hang up.
All right, and we've only got 3 minutes, so let's go with your most important ones first.
Okay, big guys, the guys you talked about behind the scenes. Now, the guys that are in control, what kind of life are they going to have if they have to go underground and live there? That's going to be miserable. When they had the Mexico swine flu, they shut that Mexico City down in 1 week. This is setting the platform for the Antichrist. The aliens are demons. That when the rapture comes, they're just going to say the aliens took us. How long do I want to live in a world like this as a Christian? I am with a case of peanut butter under my bed. And, you know, all these FEMA camps going up, all these people who live in Tennessee, and I'm not afraid to say it, you watch the Enterprise South area become a big FEMA death camp when they have the bio flu and they want to depopulate this country fast. It's the only way to do it is with biochemical flu.
Well, let me tell you what they're going to do about underground bunkers, first of all. They don't plan to stay down there for the rest of their lives. They just plan to stay down there for their own security, protection, safety until they can stick their heads above ground again. Steve, you would agree with that?
Absolutely. And let me share something. Some of these things are so amazingly huge, complex. And plus, I want to share this. I'm on record saying they have, the big guys have the ability to go off planet. And I mean off planet. I mean, listen, again, when Skunk Works had, the president of Skunk Works said, if the American people ever found out that we've been beyond the stars and anything they can imagine we've already done, I'm telling you this, the big guys, the guys behind the scene, they don't have a problem. They don't have to just hang around on terra firma, planet Earth. They've got the ability to go other places. And there's even a passage, George, in the Bible. It's Obadiah. It says, though you set your nest, make your home amongst the stars, yet will I bring you down, God speaking. So these guys have a plan, and some of the underground cities are 4 and 5 miles in circumference. So that's a huge city.
It sure is. Stephen, I want to thank you for joining us this Labor Day night, my friend. Your information is always pointed and telling. You take care. Stephen Quayle, his website, stevequayle.com. If you need to reach me, that's just George at coasttocoastam.com. And also make our website one of your favorites. That way you don't have to type it in all the time, coasttocoastam.com. When I come back in just a moment, Jay Widener joins us. We'll talk about some of his latest work that affects all of us, including the thought of living to 400 years old. Would you like to do that? Well, stick around and find out when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.